Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the nearly Christmas edition of the Macko and Cause podcast, where I'm going to be disappointed because I am staring at beautiful Burgundy wine, a variety of cheeses, all provided by our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. And now I get the message from Bob that we have to hold off his drinking on the pod for one more pod. What gives, Bob?
Well, Matt, a couple things, but mostly, when we made that plan last time, yeah, it was before we knew we were doing the pod at 9 a.m.
Okay.
So the idea of polishing off a bottle of wine at 9 a.m. before going Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
We also said we'd do it on the last pod of the year. And this isn't the last pod of the year. There's one next week.
There's one next week.
But Jeff Pollock was so excited by the prospect of me drinking wine, he leapt into the fray and sent over a bottle of Saint-Aubin Premier Cru,
yep,
Le Champlaud, which is a Domaine Sylvain Lagourneau.
Just think of it as Premier Cru Chardonnay.
I'm not going to think it that way. Right. Just stop now.
And there's also a bottle of red. And I was thinking, okay, you could have one glass of white wine, you know, with water and cheese, even in the morning. Because, Bob, you know all those tacky signs? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah, am I right or am I right?
Yeah, technically, you're right. I have a shocking and enormous announcement to make.
All right, let's get right
to
that.
We got the Leafs to get into their greatest game in my life.
Oh, yeah?
They played yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, they were awfully good.
They were damn
Florida.
Good.
They were damn good. Not the most exciting or important necessarily, but has the Leafs team ever played that well ever?
We'll discuss.
Okay.
The big announcement.
All right. But the big announcement, you're right about everything.
What?
I realized this on the way on the elevator ride up.
Yeah, I
now,
win.
I should put a caveat on this.
Oh, damn.
Not about politics or, you know, ideas about things.
Okay.
But everything else you're right about.
Okay.
There was somebody in the hallway and I said, happy holidays to him.
Yeah.
He said, happy holidays back. And I thought, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of time of year where you would say to somebody that you literally just brush shoulders with in the hallway, oh, have a nice holiday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would just say, get out of my way, you scumbag.
Exactly. Right? Which is what you normally do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I thought, but you and Amy live this way all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are the nicest people I know. And the most, if not necessarily like I know a lot of really good people, but you're probably the friendliest people I know.
Okay.
And so most of us kind of adopt friendliness for about 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Just random acts of friendliness.
Yeah, and then start punching on Boxing Day.
Right.
Because
it's
called Boxing
Rock'em
Day.
Sock'em Robots, basically. Don't take my spot if you don't want to get punched. Anyway, so I thought on the way up, you both live this way.
Mm-hmm.
You live right. I'm in your place, and honestly, like, I'm practically sitting under the kitchen table because the tree is so big, there's literally nowhere else to fit.
It's a fat tree.
It is an enormous, it is the Yokozuna of trees.
Bret Hart is somewhere underneath.
Nice.
That's a deep blow.
No, that was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I wanted to congratulate you, not on your political philosophy or your aesthetic philosophy or anything really with the word philosophy in it.
Okay.
But the way you and Amy live.
Our life philosophy.
Your life philosophy. You are the best people ever.
And Bob is getting a hug right now from Amy.
Who is better than you.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. That's not even up for debate.
Right.
You know,
like,
that's
in all my effusive praise, I should point out, you're the silver medalist.
Oh, that's fine. I don't mind being Elizabeth Manley. I'm totally fine with that. Going again with just obscure odd references.
Yeah, no, you're doing great.
Yeah.
90s polls.
I'm going to, well, that was 88.
Was that 88?
88 would be, but she was probably still doing some McCain ads in 1990.
Yeah. Well,
probably living off the fumes of that silver in Calgary.
You know, I was thinking about the 80s, and there was this brief period of time when Canadian athletics was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was
the skiers,
Brian Orser and the crazy Canucks.
Yeah.
And there in the pool, we had Alex Bauman and poor Victor Davis, who was killed in a very suspicious fashion. But there was this brief period of time where Canadian athletics, Ben Johnson, of course, which was, you know, that went backfired.
Now this is seeming less fun.
So racist, by the way.
Ben Johnson and a mysterious death. and you were couching this conversation as fun.
Well, that's true. No, but there was a period of time where Canadian amateur athletics was part of the mainstream conversation. Then it went away for a while.
Yep.
I feel like it's kind of back.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Andre DeGrasse, let's see how Andre DeGrasse does next year.
Just read an article in Toronto Life. That's a sentence I should never say, but I did. Mm-hmm. About Penny Oleksiak.
Oh, God, yeah.
She's pretty amazing.
She is dominant. By the way, in the Toronto Life, was there something about, we hate those nut in my neighborhood people, or... Wait, which one's Toronto Life? Well, what's their leaning?
It's basically just a bunch of places where you can buy something trendy.
Yeah.
Like Toronto's 10 best, you know, fill in the idiotic trend, saltwater taffy or
dim sum.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's some house porn.
Yeah.
Like just sit there roster bait to some house porn.
Yeah, there is so much house porn. It's like, look at this place in Leslieville. It's,
Wait, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
What does $2 million buy you on the bridal path?
Not a whole, well, on the bridal path,
it buys nothing.
A punch in the face.
I think it buys an Uber to the bridal path.
Yeah, no, get out of the bridal path, you $2 millionaire. Yeah, but you're totally right. Those magazines always. And it depresses you. It's like, wait, $2 million only gets me that? Like, that looks like where murder happens, that shanty house. And it's $2 million.
It's the Captain Obvious commercial where they're in the murder house.
Yeah.
The murder room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the best of all the commercials.
But you are in Leslieville, you know, and you've got great access to the streetcar.
Yeah, that's true. Streetcar was even good today. Everything's coming up, Bob and Matt, this morning.
Except for the wine.
That's true. I know you're sad, but you know what, Matt? Honestly, I refuse to believe that you not having an opportunity to have wine at 9 a.m. is like a huge hit to your lifestyle.
Well, considering...
Like, I'm going to leave here and you're going to polish off a different bottle of wine.
Well, no, I got to go do radio, but...
So you'll wait till 4 o'clock to do it?
Well, we're taking the kids out tonight, so tonight's a bad night. But don't worry. Last night, I'm going to talk about it a little bit involving my part of the conversation called eating octopus.
Okay.
I was at Bar Isabel last night. And yeah, not going to lie. Yesterday was an indulgent day. Started lunch at the National Club. That actually is another good story. Okay, we'll do all of that in a moment. But first, some sports.
Okay, let's do that because I feel like we can't wrap up Bar Isabel and the National Club in a minute and a half, can we?
Yeah, it's probably longer than 90 seconds.
Right. So let's go with the Leafs because they deserve it. They've earned it after kind of hitting, not the skids, but they went into, say, third gear for a bit.
Yeah.
And now, geez, first New Jersey and then Florida.
13 goals in their last two games.
They look just fantastic, except for William Nylander.
That
doesn't matter.
Bigger picture, it matters. But as for last night, here's my first thought. On Sportsnet, they started with a graphic of the three guys who play the most minutes. Barkov, Scheifele, and McDavid. 2309, 2247, 2240, respectively. And I like the fact that the Leafs' minutes are starting to go up. And they're getting, like, Mitch Marner's at, like, 1941. Like, they're creeping up to where I think it should be. But then when you see anything that has two twos in it or above, it's just like, damn, I'm glad that Matthews and Marner and none of those guys are playing in the, you know, 22 minutes or more. That is just a crazy amount.
The thing with Babcock is it's a double-edged sword. You want them to play enough so that you're maximizing that amazing skill.
Yeah.
You don't want them to play so much that when they get to the playoffs, they got a little wear and tear on them.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of a dance. Also, I got to figure at some point, they're going into big contract negotiations. And Toronto,
are they? I didn't know
no,
that.
No, they are.
Has that been brought up?
It's been quietly buried in the background that they have RFA deals to work.
Did all of us in the media, did we take off like an hour after the Nylander deal, or did we immediately go into Marner and Matthews contract? Like, I think
you had to hashtag it. Nylander signs deal, hashtag Matthews, hashtag Marner.
Oh my. And once, by the way, Pierre LeBrun, and it's not his fault. I understand what he was doing. He was talking about if Matthews got a shorter deal for a second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then started mentioning, well, that'll mean that Matthews' third deal is going to be really pricey. I'm like, oh my God, we're already talking about
the
his third deal. Anyway.
Oh, so the point I wanted to make was, they have to show, like, if I'm a young star and I'm trying to build up my stats and my profile and my, you know, what was it that Cuba Gooding Jr. called it in Jerry Maguire? The Quan?
Yeah.
The Quan?
Yeah.
I think every athlete should want the Quan.
Another 90s reference.
Yeah. Wow, this is a really 90s episode.
Did you know that?
They all are.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. It was the last time we mattered.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Who?
Us.
Us?
Yeah.
We never knew each other till 2000.
Yeah, but I mean, just as human beings, we were obsolete after that.
Let's see. Now, well, I guess we 25. I don't be obsolete at 25.
No, you're obsolete at 25. 100%. Yeah, you actually have till 27. And then you're done.
Well, that's like the olden days, like 200 years ago. You were dead at 30. If you made it to 30, you were the wise man dispensing wisdom and, you know, some old timey. Town.
Everybody over 30 is just hanging on.
Well, that's a really depressing thought.
Yeah, it's good. I got to go back to Matt.
Wait, that's because you woke up at 4 in the morning. You've been drinking coffee.
And sending emails.
And sending emails saying you got to go Christmas shopping. No wonder your idea, you're hanging on.
That's true. Maybe because I literally am hanging on. So anyway, if I'm the Marner camp, the Matthews camp, I want to see my minutes go up because I want to make sure I'm going in negotiating with a nice beefy profile. You know, like when you go to see your lawyer with all your tax receipts and you've got the accordion folder and you open it up and you spread it all out and you're like, look at this.
Yeah.
This is what I've done this year.
And then
this is my profile.
And then your accountant looks at you and goes, Bob, a lot of people do this online and they don't bring the giant accordion.
They also say this, Bob, you cannot write off macaroni and cheese. It is not a business expense. Well, just because
you
were working while you were eating mac and cheese.
Yeah. I really don't understand how it all works.
Nobody does. Just rich people
stuff.
Do. By the way, I figured out that tax lawyer is officially the lowest level of hell.
Really?
Yeah. Like in terms of modern villain, I think tax lawyer is the lowest level of hell.
It's a bad one because it's their job to make sure that rich people get to keep as much as their money.
But then a good one, like I think a noble tax lawyer.
Yeah.
Then, because if there's the pitfalls, then the other side would be the heroic. We're sidebarring here.
We are.
Even by my standards, we're sidebarring.
Yeah.
And we're talking Leafs and people are just like, why don't you shut up and talk about Austin Matthews instead of Dante and tax lawyers.
Two goals for Matthews. The first, Dante, the classic one, left of the net, great cycle. And the second goal, the other side, hell of a release.
Which is an awkward way to describe things.
Yeah, hell of a release.
Yeah, hell of a release. Yeah, that's.
I remember a girlfriend once to anyway,
phrasing
19 goals in 21 games. You know, as he is just spraying his ability all over the faces of. Wait, phrasing again. Never mind. Seventh multi-goal game. 19 goals in 21 games. I mean, he's missed all this time, but he could get 50.
Yeah, everybody was great last night.
Everyone was great.
You can say Austin Matthews was amazing, but you also have to say Morgan Rielly was amazing.
Oh,
and John Tavares, who in the first period was utterly, utterly dominant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I just decided last, speaking of real estate porn, as we did earlier, know how I would describe last night's game?
Yeah.
I would describe it as the open house because you know how when you go to see a home that's going on the market and everything's immaculate.
Yeah.
Everything good about the home is up front.
Yeah.
And you think like, this is the best this place could ever look.
Oh,
last night was the open house.
That is great. Bob, you know who William Nylander is?
Actually, I do.
William Nylander is the unfinished basement. Tons of potential, but maybe don't look at it right now because there's still beams of wood.
I actually jotted down to myself, William Nylander is the kitchen with bad tile.
Okay.
Great kitchen, bad tile.
Yeah.
Just rip up a little linoleum,
and
all of a sudden you've got a luxury kitchen.
Austin Matthews is the lovely neighborhood.
Mitch Marner is the walkout deck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Morgan Rielly is, there's good schools nearby. I mean, you know, we could go on. Now we are sounding like a Toronto Life article. Right back
that
to Toronto
really
Life.
That really did, absolutely.
Yeah.
What neighborhood's up and coming? Yeah. I think they all are, aren't they?
Ooh, in this one, you know what Kasperi Kapanen is? He's the high-end hot tub. You don't really need it, and it's unexpected, but damn, look, there's a hot tub.
No, I like
that's
that.
Just fun.
I like
it's
that.
It's not going to really help
our
resale
value. Or like heated floors in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so good.
If we could talk about roasturbation, we need to think of a word of like, when you talk about real estate, realsturbation, I guess?
We'll workshop that and you can send some 4 a.m. emails and figure that out. You know, the one thing about that game is, doesn't it make the 4-3 overtime loss such a head-scratcher?
Yeah.
You know, like a week ago or so, they're down 2-0 after two periods, then they skill their way back to a 3-3 tie only to lose in, you know, in overtime. Because Barkov got a hat trick.
Overtime's a coin flip.
Yeah.
I remember last year, or a couple of years ago, Chicago went out in the first round, and the Blackhawks actually had a really good record, but they had a lot of overtime wins.
Yeah.
And even Patrick Kane said afterwards, maybe we weren't as good as we thought we were, because we won a lot of these games in overtime. And again, you know,
the way coming back,
you know, 3-on-3, like what can you really learn from that? Yeah. But anyway, I guess your point's a really good one. I guess every team, and this is one of the weird things about trying to talk about the Leafs, is they're really good.
Yeah.
They're probably not as good as Tampa.
Nope.
They're probably better than a bunch of other teams in a tier below.
Yep.
They're like an A minus or an A if Tampa Bay is an A plus.
Their best days, they're the second best team in the NHL. Their worst days, they're eighth or ninth.
Yeah, right. That's, exactly. And of course, anybody can look like garbage on any given night.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, over the course of 82 games, you kind of hope they don't always look at their best because it means, you know, they probably won't have much left in the tank for the playoffs. So how do you analyze trends, particularly negative ones? Like, that's a really hard thing to do. Like, you can sit there and say, oh, you know, they got to make a play for D when it comes to the trade deadline. I've been hearing so much about this. Oh, the Leafs, is Dubas going to go out and make a play for D?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if it's a good deal, he will.
Well, we'll talk about that. I should get into that now because the Maple Leafs, and I was gasbagging about this yesterday on air. The Maple Leafs are in a position they will never be in again. Mm-hmm. They will never have an opportunity where Matthews and Marner are getting paid less than Kadri. Their combined salary is less than Kadri.
This is, you like to describe this as the Seattle Seahawks scenario.
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks, the Russell Wilson, you know, that's why they went to two Super Bowls and one NFC Championship game. Well, one of the reasons, because they had Wilson on a rookie deal. So you have that. The greatest thing in professional sports you can have is superstar talent on rookie deals. And Matthews and Marner are superstars, and they are on rookie deals. Then you add, you still have Jake Gardner. And you got Jake Gardner for this year. And you might not ever have him again. And Jake Gardner's a really good defenseman. Then you add, they got a lot of cap space. So if you could get, even if it's a guy for just 1 year, like a Cronwall, you know, someone, you don't even need a number one defenseman because Morgan Riley's a number one defenseman. But if you can get a good defenseman who moves the needle, stabilizes things a little bit, would you give up some impressive young talent?
Here's the thing. Most of those deals don't pay off.
Yep, they don't.
The Ryan Callahan deal was a good one for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep.
But they didn't win.
Nope.
If you're talking about the deal that puts you over the top and makes you a championship winner, hockey's not really the sport where that happens at the trade deadline.
No, you get...
There are other sports where it does.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball, I think you see all the time. If you can add the right arm into the rotation... but that's largely because starting pitching is so, or pitching in general is so important that the right arm at the right time can push you over the top in baseball. But hockey, I mean, I guess you would trade for goaltending would be the only thing would make an impact.
If you could do it right now, absolutely. I mean, what I'm talking about is the Jim Rutherford-esque tinkering. And yes, precedent says it doesn't usually work.
I mean, there are examples.
There are examples. But the my argument for it is, even if you have to get rid of, like, let's say, you know, the Kapanen and a second rounder for a really good defenseman, okay? Mm-hmm. Or and that could suck because Kapanen could go to another team and be really good. But the other side to it is, and Craig Button said, don't you got to maximize this year? And because this year is so unique, not even slightly, hey, the Leafs got a really good chance. They have things they'll never have before. Should you not honor the uniqueness of this year by swinging for a deal, knowing that the odds are probably won't work out?
I guess the answer is it's a terrible answer, but it's the real answer.
Yeah.
If you could make a good deal, you would.
Of course.
But you don't feel the pressure to make a deal because, you know, to overpay to get somebody who's a pretty good player makes no sense. Just because it adds a pretty good player to your roster. Like, it has to make sense. And how many deals in that environment actually make sense for teams? I bring up the Tampa Bay one just because it kind of helped out both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but most of these things don't pan out.
I understand that. And I agree with
you. And then the fan base gets weirdly depressed because they didn't make a move. Health of this team is way more important than another defenseman.
Of course, in any sport, health is more important than that acquisition. But I will say this. I usually default to the very simple and correct answer, if the deal makes sense.
Right.
But this year, all the factors that go into what the Maple Leafs are this year, they don't make sense. You got those guys on that contract with Jake Gardner with all the salary cap space.
Okay, so let me throw this
out. I'm willing to go nuts.
Okay, I understand that. But at the same time, Travis Dermott is getting better all the time. And he feels like a legitimate top four defenseman. He played a bit with Morgan Riley last night, about a minute and a half, and they look good together. Rasmus Sandin is impressive in people in the AHL.
Yep.
Timothy Liljegren is, you know, is he a trade piece or is he a guy that you're developing because developing your own right-handed D
is the way to go.
Is the way to go.
Yep.
So you could also look at this and say, yes, there is a tremendous window of opportunity this year. But mm-hmm. who's to say that in 2 or 3 years with those players you mentioned who are on rookie contracts?
Yep.
They're going to be great.
They are.
And they're going to be on this team.
They are.
And then all of a sudden there's going to be young new players who are going to be able to come in and contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you get rid of them now and then just have that hole that you have to fill later?
I know what you're saying, if you could do it for Connor Brown.
If you could do it for Connor Brown. But honestly, like, what GM out there is looking at this and saying, well, we're going to give up a really good defenseman and we're going to get Connor Brown in return.
No, no, of course
not. You got to give up something.
Yes, you
do. Kasperi Kaspinen might be, he's certainly good and he might be really good.
And then you might not
skates like the wind.
And then you might not be able to afford him.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But this is just simply, if you're going to look at the long-term planning,
yep.
you're constantly replenishing the stock
mm-hmm.
for as long as you can.
But
right?
sometimes you're always looking at the long-term. Sometimes you got to look at the now. This is a crazy set of circumstances the Leafs find themselves into only this year. So for only this year, I'm willing to go a little bit crazy. And if you could get that, you know, that needle-moving defenseman, I sacrifice young talent, realizing, man, that could kick me in the ass.
Do you know what this is, Matt?
Mm.
This is the fourth drink.
Okay.
Let me explain what I mean by that.
Yep.
Most nights you're out, you're having a couple drinks, three drinks in, you got a nice buzz going, conversation's lubricated, your appetite's peaked, you're having a great time.
Yep.
You think, I should have that fourth drink.
Mm-hmm.
The evening never gets better when you have the fourth drink. It just gets stupider. It gets maybe more memorable, it maybe gets more dramatic, because it's the gateway to more stuff. My point is simply this. The NHL playoffs are too hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you going to add that makes anything a slam dunk in the NHL playoffs? I would argue you're probably better off keeping your cards, playing them smart as you mm-hmm. go along, because you're not improving your odds that much with just about any deal you would actually make.
You're absolutely right,
it's Bob. The fourth drink, Matt, but you know when the fourth drink seems like a great idea?
When?
On the third drink.
Okay.
Which is where you are now because you just watched them beat Florida 6-1 and score 13 goals in 2 games.
By the way, I'd kill for just one drink. I'm still staring at this bottle of Burgundy.
You know what? You're the last guy who should be making this deal.
Again, shout out to Jeff Pollock. Here's Bob. Here's my counter to that.
Kelly and Michael aren't even finished their show yet, and you want to get halfway into it. By the way, that's a Strahan and Ripa reference.
Yeah. Those gals. I always wonder, is that real wine they have on the Hoda and Kathy Lee.
I don't know. I've never watched it.
They've got glasses of wine.
Do they really?
On the set.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I hope the answer is yes.
I hope the answer is yes as well. Here's my counter to that.
Okay.
Everything you say is right, Bob. And most people listening are agreeing with you. Except in this case, for that fourth drink, we're in the unique situation where it's an open bar and they're pouring us their best bar rail. And they're pouring us the nicest bottles of wine they have and the craftiest of craft beers with the hoppiest of hops, whoever did hop.
Okay.
So in this case, this fourth drink, yeah, probably going to get you in trouble, but damn. It's a little bit different situation.
Yeah, you're looking for something memorable.
Yeah.
You want to go over the top. You want to be exciting. But okay, so now I'm going to be my usual asbestos blanket on the fire that is your desire for a championship.
Yeah.
So whatever you could get back this year, does that really outweigh, like, does that tip the scales for the chance of it a championship more than if you hung on to these young kids and let them develop a little bit more and padded the roster with some of these exciting defensemen that are going to be ready in 2 and 3 years and ready to contribute? And then all of a sudden, you've got Morgan Rielly and Travis Dermott and Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going, holy crap, like this could actually be a really good defense.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we didn't have it because we got veteran X to come in and give me grit on the third line, which is already terrific.
I don't want veteran on the third line.
But
I want to try Kapanen and a pick and maybe...
To get who?
To get... I have to go look through the list.
Like Erik Karlsson?
Like, I have to go through the list. There's obviously a defenseman out there. And Bob, you can win the cup this year. And then after this year, you're going to pay Matthews and Marner so much money. Goodbye. Remember that great defense you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Jake Gardner. Oh, Rasmus Sandin and Liljegren. Because you know how obvious it is for teenagers to become really good defensemen in the NHL. That's a gamble as well.
It is a gamble.
Everything you just said, which logically makes sense, also involves gamble. It's just a more conservative gamble, but it is one. You could win the cup this year.
All right, I'll pour myself a shot here and say this.
Yeah.
If you could get Colton Parayko,
yeah,
I would consider it.
Yeah.
But if you're St. Louis, you're not giving him up for you need a lot.
You do.
Like, you have to sit there and start to say, okay, we're actually maybe taking away some of the good depth we have this year in order to add Colton Parayko. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know I've used this analogy many times in the show, but it's the blanket that's too small. You pull it up to cover your shoulders, your feet are sticking out.
Yep.
You cover your feet, all of a sudden your shoulders are sticking out. But there's nothing you can do because the blanket's too small. So it's just pick your poison, and I would rather pick my poison with this team, which is clearly excellent.
Yep.
And a bunch of young players who could contribute probably down the line.
And that sounds awesome. But if there's a deal out there where you got to get a little crazy, a little nuts, and you got to sacrifice, I'm on board for it.
All right. But you always are, because you root for chaos.
I know, but this case, find me the other teams in the NHL that have everything I've laid out. Yeah, you know, like just you find me that team.
Find me the team out there that says, hey, for a future draft pick and a reasonably good forward, we're going to flip you a star defenseman.
I don't even a star. I need a guy that can, a great number three, like a great, the first guy on the second pairing. Give me one of those guys.
Yeah, a second pairing defenseman is a meaningful thing.
Yeah,
go get like me if one. You want to say, hey, we need a replacement for Martin Marincin.
No,
and I don't someone who can be a sixth or seventh defenseman, knock yourself out.
I don't
but
care
then
about
all
that.
Of a sudden you're doing the oh geez, who's the guy? From Montreal. Pukanich. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want
like it's a
deal. No.
Right.
No, let's get nuts.
See, now, that, see, now you're telling the truth.
Let's get in that hot tub. Let's get nuts because the contract situation is nuts, and we're saying goodbye to Gardner after this year, which is going to be nuts.
You asked, how is it possible after the Nylander deal that we started talking about Austin Matthews' potential third deal?
Yeah.
It's because of exactly this conversation, because they just scored 13 goals.
Oh, they did.
And they look amazing.
They look
and you're
so
thinking,
good.
Wow, wouldn't it be better if we could go out and get somebody and we would have scored 17 goals in those games? Matt, they look terrific.
They're
really good.
The power play, second in October, seventh in November, 29th so far in December, three power play goals last night. It is so hard to stop Tavares, Marner, Matthews, and Riley when they're all in the same power play.
The defense worries us all, but here's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That if they're playing really well and they're healthy going into the playoffs, they have as good a chance as anybody to win.
Yeah.
Win it all. Mm-hmm. If they're not playing well or they have health problems, you're not adding anybody who's going to change the equation. They probably won't win. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not disagreeing with anything you say.
I know. You just like fun.
I recognize a unique situation. I recognize sometimes you've got to maximize each year. And sometimes it means you have to, if you're the person that's always conservative of, nope, keep stockpiling, keep waiting, sometimes the window suddenly passes as you are continuing to wait. Sometimes you have to strike.
I will say this, and this is, I would argue, unique to hockey,
mm-hmm.
that the separation level between the best teams and the quite good teams is not nearly as acute as it is in other sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like the difference between the top two or three teams in baseball and the other teams in the playoffs, huge. Even in football, like every once in a while you'll have a wild card team that'll make its way through, but usually it's because of health and they get hot.
Yep.
Right, there's always some freaky thing that happens, but just generally speaking, this way you have so many upsets in the playoffs in hockey is even teams that look like dominant teams can, like Winnipeg couldn't be beaten, right? They were going to make the cup final, they got Las Vegas, and then all of a sudden Vegas wins in five.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like it's too unpredictable.
Exactly. That's why you got to.
Tampa Bay was the best team last year.
They were.
They didn't win.
They didn't win. Washington won.
And they weren't the best team.
And they weren't the best team. One final thought.
Yeah. I want to talk about something else with the Leafs.
Morgan Riley?
No.
49th in cap hit.
Isn't that something?
49th.
You know, it's weird. Like, it's been so long since the city has had a meaningful trophy winner.
Yeah.
That the discussion of Riley for the Norris seems stupid,
yeah.
but it isn't.
No.
It isn't stupid. Like, he's not defensively excellent, but he's defensively quality. Cool.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah.
And offensively, he's having an amazing year.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he be in that conversation? But as much as we want to project ahead to Stanley Cups, when it comes to individual players actually winning something, I would say with the exception of Austin Matthews, we almost always undersell them.
We're not underselling Marner. And if Marner, you know, where does he fit in?
Yeah, it does feel like it's a new age, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a new age.
It's also a new group of players.
They are awfully good.
So I wanted to talk about good players, and I wanted to talk about James Reimer getting into the game last night.
Oh, that was nice.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
Here's what I realized, that a bad team is like the Trump administration.
Mm.
that
they're making America great again, one firing at a time.
100%. You look at the Trump administration, and it's hard to root for anybody because there are so many people who are a tire fire.
Yeah.
So who do you you cheer for? Hmm. Not the brilliant statesperson, not the brilliant, you know, policy wonk. Mm-hmm. Just a grown up.
Yeah.
Just a grown up who goes to work and doesn't pee on the desk.
I don't know. Who is that on the Trump administration?
That's hard. There's not many left. And even guys like Mattis or McMaster and any of them.
Yeah.
Like, even if people didn't like their service records or said that this policy isn't for me, at least you could say, but at least they're a grown up. Like,
they're
how many times have we heard that's the adult in the room?
Yeah.
Right. So this made me think of James Reimer, like the Leafs teams he was on. No, they weren't great.
Nope.
And there was a lot of shenanigans behind the scenes.
Yep.
Right. And people rooted for James Reimer, even though he wasn't that good, mm-hmm. because he just showed up to work and had a good attitude.
Yeah, he did.
And tried his best.
Yep.
And was really likable.
And his wife was great and nice family.
So here's what I realized. Mm. On good teams, you cheer for the stars. On bad teams, you cheer for the people who show up and work.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
And James Reimer is like the quintessential in recent memory. No, because this doesn't even count like for the PA Parenteau year, like, you know, the really bottom out year.
Yeah.
Because they were not a tire fire that year. This was a plan.
Yeah.
So we all understood the difference.
They were an AHL team playing in the NHL.
Right. Yeah. But with like that Reimer, Bernier, Carlisle, all those shenanigans, they were trying to be good.
They were.
And it just got worse and worse and worse.
It did.
And somehow Reimer walked out of that as the... it was like one of the few people that was kind of like a working man's hero.
Yeah. It's like I had a really crappy marriage, but my brother-in-law, he was a nice guy. I mean, I hated
we
that,
stayed friends.
I hated that bitch of a wife, but
wow.
Me and Steve, we still remain friends. We email every now and then.
Wow. You know? I like how you dropped into, well, I don't like it actually, but I note that you dropped into like angry character there.
Yeah. It had to go there for the analogy because
I understand.
Well, because for that year for the Leafs, everyone was just angry.
Right.
You know,
so. There was an angry year. Yeah. So that's what I thought of when I thought of James Reimer. Everybody looked back at his time fondly.
Yeah.
He wasn't that good. He wasn't that good.
He was above average.
He was okay. No, he wasn't. He was like at best average. At best, he was average.
He had stretches of good.
No. No, he didn't. Yes, like he anybody did. Can.
Yeah.
Anybody can have, you know, a broken clock's right twice a day.
I'm not going to have you sit here and besmirch the good name of James Reimer.
Neither am I.
It's not like a great help in front of
good
him.
Good name
well.
Is what he had. Good game, he did not.
You are lame. Besmirching his fame.
Oh, Matt, you're always the same.
Oh, yeah. It's a rap battle going on.
You don't want that.
The worst rap battle ever.
Could I lose to Matt? I say never. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this now.
Don't be a
kid. I'm going to do this.
I can't. By the way, eat my chow.
I interviewed James Reimer once, and you know where?
Where?
At Comic-Con.
Aww.
I was contacted by somebody, and I went to Comic-Con, and there was a room full of people. I had an hour-long chat with him in front of like one of those little vestibule-type areas.
Yeah.
And he was amazing.
Yeah.
He was so much more interesting than I was. I almost wanted to apologize to him afterwards. Sorry that I am so dull, because you're really a great person.
And did you ask him, so James, why are you bad at being a goaltender? Like you're saying now.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was a bad first question.
Yeah,
I think
was.
I kind of really, set him, made really him defensive. Made
it set the tone. Really a competitive interview.
He actually said something, and I still keep this with me in my pocket of sayings, mm-hmm. you know, since we had the conversation. I asked him, like, did he have any superstitions? And I thought, you know, this is just a generic goalie question.
Yeah.
They're all kind of wacky, and, you know, maybe we'll get something fun out of them. And he actually really answered my question. He goes, you know, I don't really believe in superstitions because I've worked really hard in my life to get where I am. And I feel like superstitions...
Shortcut.
Yeah. Well, he says it kind of doesn't give respect to the amount of work and effort that I put into this. Like maybe something out of my control is involved in this because I did this.
Yeah.
And I thought...
It's a great answer from a good goalie.
I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, why did I spend $4,000 on CBT?
Yeah.
Like if I would have just listened to you...
Yeah. Oh, that's a great...
It's not $4,000, but CBT ain't cheap, buddy.
No, it's not.
My brain should be in amazing shape. I have a brain personal trainer.
Mm-hmm, you do.
I should be in amazing shape.
Technique! Was that Tony Little?
I don't know. There's some really amazing people online, like workout people.
Oh, God.
Some of them just yell at you, and it's
just
hilarious.
Yell and scream. And by the way, okay, the Peloton ads, really aggressive. And... Could we have one average-looking person? Everyone in the Peloton ads, they're already in great shape. And then they're sitting there getting their sweat on, and they immediately jump off, and then their perfect child walks in, and like, oh, I'll give my perfect child a hug, and make my perfect child a perfect breakfast after my perfect workout, and it's only 6:30 in the morning, because I'm better than all of you.
So when
bleep you, Peloton.
When I was growing up,
yeah.
The proof that you were good-looking was that you were a server in a bar.
Yeah.
Like that was like just nobody got hired unless they were good looking.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be a server in a bar, not just to, you know, have the lifestyle or whatever, mm-hmm. but just to have somebody give me that kind of, you know, confidence boost.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're one of us. I never was.
No.
I never was one of them. I feel like Peloton ad representative has replaced that.
Yeah.
Like, are you good looking enough to sell Peloton?
To be in a, yeah, are you a Peloton model? Just a...
It's replaced Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yeah. Just aggressive. And then challenge your best. And your next personal best is your new... And then there's someone on the screen yelling at you. You know what you need to do, Bob?
Hmm.
We need to launch a class action lawsuit
against
Peloton.
Right. For and their shaming, hiring practices?
For
or...
their hiring practices and for shaming us, especially in the month of December, where my life is the opposite of a Peloton ad.
Before you launch into selling Pollock here,
I think
because Peloton is like all the podcasts I listen to, Peloton's a sponsor.
Yeah.
And there's some of those brands that are just like everybody listens to a lot of podcasts. You like, these are the podcast brands.
Yeah.
We should rip all of them.
Yeah.
We should rip all of them because they refuse to sponsor us.
It's a good point.
Out of spite.
Out of spite. Hey, MyPillow.
Right, exactly.
Get out of here. Trying to think of, Simply Safe.
Me Undies.
Yeah, me
Undies. Never.
Yeah, I poop in those undies. Anyway.
How about no undies?
Yeah, exactly. No undies.
It's a little cold, but I'm going to do it just to make a point.
Down at the Bay of Fundy. No undie. Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. As smart as Miss Grundy from the Archies. Man. Anyway.
This joke is underfundy.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm not going to try to continue. Jeff Pollock's our lawyer.
I wonder why.
That was horrible.
I'm not going to stop.
That was horrible.
I'm not going to stop.
JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, as in I'm the old G when it comes to rhyming. JeffPollock.com. He's our lawyer, should be your lawyer. You want to sue Peloton? You get Jeff Pollock. He'll get it done. Litigation, states, trusts.
How good is Jeff Pollock as a lawyer?
How good?
As good as Russian Tom Sawyer.
That's right. With all his legal might. He's always in for the fight. Anyway, it's an easy one to use. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. And to Jeff, I know you're listening. We're going to be one more pod before we get to drink this wine. And it's killing me. There's delicious. There's like seven cheeses and Chardonnay, my favorite white grape. And we got a bottle of red Pinot in the fridge. Oh.
Matt, you have to be at work in 2 hours.
Yeah, there's that.
What was your plan? Were you going to show up at TSN 1050, like bumping into walls and stuff?
No, I was going to be an adult, have a small glass.
Are you the adult in the room?
Often cases I am.
No. No, you are not.
It's a lie. I'm often the adult. So anyway, that's our lawyer.
It's not the same as being the oldest.
It should be yours. Bob,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything more delightful like just than eating octopus? Like
Matt, I want to take it before you continue.
Yeah.
That is the most bourgeois sentence I think you have ever said. And in a history of, you know, talking about French wines.
Yeah.
And is there anything more delightful than eating octopus?
Because here's the thing. When it's served to you, especially for the first time, it feels like you're danger eating because it looks like it's still alive. And it's like, I'm eating the animal the way the animal looks. But then you take the first bite and you're like, and you know, especially the tentacles and everything. And it's just so delicious. And I remember the first time when Amy saw it, she was freaking out me eating octopus. I had it last night with our old producer, Aaron Korolnik at Bar Isabel. We only got the half puss. It was so good.
You know, the octopus is a very strange animal. It has many, many talents.
Like Gowan. It's a strange animal.
That's what I know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh! On fire.
Yeah, you're never going to out-Gowan me, buddy. Mm-hmm. Let's just get that straight.
Okay.
Its ability to camouflage itself, the octopus ink, and it has an odd intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it can solve problems even though it's a mollusk.
Yep.
So it's been speculated by some that the octopus is such an anomaly, it might be an alien.
Really?
Yes.
So I was eating alien last night?
You were.
Oh, no. That means the other aliens are going to come.
And it was delightful. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Hello. Knock, 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 Mr. Cause.
They're going to knock on the door.
Mm-hmm. It is delicious.
Yes.
I think it is the most underrated of all the seafoods.
It really is. It is going up so much higher on my rankings. Like, it's
because squid is overrated. You know why squid is overrated? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Squid is also delicious.
Yeah.
But it's often done poorly. Mm-hmm. When you see calamari and the appetizers at a place,
yeah,
it's almost always garbage. It's yeah. almost just like about 20% squid, 80% breading.
Yeah, not even good breading.
Not even just good breading. Just the yeah. worst, right?
Yeah.
That's why you always go for the grilled calamari, but then it usually comes out leathery. It's
yeah.
like, it's like you're chewing on, you know, like a keychain or something, you know? There's one of those leather keychains.
Just like with scallops, there's a sweet spot for calamari, for grilled calamari, and it's a small window like in Star Wars where you just got the little hole you got to shoot.
We've been shooting womp rats since we were kids.
They are.
So... You're 100% right about scallops, because scallops are delicious rarely.
Yes.
But when they are, they work out beautifully.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to ruin them. Mm-hmm. You undercook them and they're kind of like, you know, you just don't feel right. Mm-hmm. You overcook them. And I saw that smile on your face, Matt. Were you going to make some filthy reference to undercooked scallops?
No, actually, I wasn't even thinking that. I was just
bullshit you were.
No, you know what I was going to say? I'm continually going to say, thank you, Bob, for entering on the SS Bourgeois, as you now have also been talking about just the right way to do scallops.
I would never describe it as delightful, though.
Uh-huh.
I think delightful was the key.
It's,
and also, when it's served to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would ever describe my meal as, you know, when someone serves
it to
me.
Bob, when I shove the octopus down my mouth hole mm-hmm. and it goes into my stomach hole,
yeah.
it makes me ha-ha-ha happy.
Yeah, see, that makes sense.
I'm like Simple Jack.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, yeah. We should do a seafood ranking. Have we ever done a seafood ranking?
I believe we have done
We must have.
We haven't done a
Sure, when you come back from Naples, Florida, yeah. we must have done a seafood ranking.
Exactly.
You know what? Maybe we could do this. A delightful ranking for the final episode of the year. Top five things that Matt finds delightful.
Yeah, because that's different than, let's say, impressive
or delicious.
Stuff like that, or delicious.
Or, right? Like what? Because delightful is such an obnoxious word. It's a CBC word.
Yeah.
It's what the CBC arts team always describe things as. I saw this film last night and it was delightful.
If I was going to do this in wine, Bordeaux isn't delightful. Sparkling rosé is delightful.
Right, and you described octopus as delightful, but you probably wouldn't describe, you know, chippies, fish, and chips as delightful.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, right?
So that's it. For the final pot of the year, Matt's top five delightful things.
And that better include Jeff Pollock's Burgundy wine. And
we will, like Matt, I won't keep you from getting loaded.
Thank you. Finally, during the holidays, I'll have a bit of a buzz. Before we get to Raptors and stuff, your Christmas concert, your daughter's Christmas concert. I want to hear all about it.
Parents out there, believe me now or believe me later. Mm-hmm. The Christmas concert is the worst part of the job.
Yeah,
it really is. And I know everyone's like, oh, but they're so cute up there, which is true.
Yeah.
But it's like cat videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You watch fun cat videos for a couple minutes. You go, this is really great. This is so funny. But you don't watch 85 minutes of cat videos nonstop.
No, right? You don't.
Because by about an hour in, you start going, I need something different. Like, I know, look, it's, it fell off the banister and then it went round and sped away.
Yeah.
But I've seen that 1,000 times. That's the same way it is at the Christmas concert. Like, it's cute for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it's just bad singing by kids who can't remember the words.
Okay.
And then your kid shows up and you're like, oh, this is awesome.
But then your kid goes away.
And then you got to sit there for another 45 minutes. And that's the worst part because you're not even looking forward to anything at that point, except for death.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Just grim death to finally embrace
sweet Reaper. Take me away.
Yeah, okay.
I can't sit through another medley of jingle bells.
How long was approximately was the Christmas?
Sandra and I made a bet. We did over under at 60 minutes and it was just a little over.
Okay.
So just a little over.
How
it was real quick because they actually did it in two parts.
Mm. How tempted were you to look at your phone when your child wasn't singing?
Wasn't tempted?
New question. How much of the Christmas concert were you looking at your phone?
Sent a lot of emails out, you know, because you're wrapping up. And I feel bad, too, because like the parents
Someone
who
else's
have...
parent's
right.
kid is saying,
yeah, and they're all excited and taking pictures. Yeah. And, oh, isn't this great? And I'm like, honestly, no, it's shit. This is shit.
How would you have felt if you saw, like, your daughter's out there, and let's say she's knocking it out of the park. CeCe's doing some Ave Maria. And next to you, some adult is playing Candy Crush. How do you feel?
I'm okay with it. I am 1,000% okay with it because I'm realistic about this stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, people say, oh, I got to show you a picture of my kid. Yeah. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You know what? I don't like them as much as you do. Mm-hmm. Now, I love that you love them and I'm excited for you. And I know you want to share that with me, but let's be realistic.
Yeah.
Even biology dictates that I won't enjoy this as much as you do.
That's true. Yes.
Right. You are engineered to find your kid fascinating.
So, okay. So the.
So yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal. She played Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was Mary in the Christmas pageant.
That's a big part.
Big part.
That is a big part.
She said beforehand, she was quite nervous, but she nailed her lines.
Yeah.
Nope. She was all good.
Nice job.
No, she did good.
Nice job, CeCe. By the way, for anyone out there.
Took about 17 seconds for her to finish her lines. Ooh. So 17 seconds in 60 plus minutes of torture.
So let's see. That's in 30.
Percentage wise?
Yeah, let's see. Let's
so about a third of a minute.
10 minutes, 600 seconds.
So it's about what? 1/3,000?
Yeah. Yeah. So about 35,000 seconds or whatever she was.
Oh, by the way, let's not pretend that this wasn't on during the first period.
Mm.
Right? Because they don't schedule it at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Like no.
Puck drop. And
we only missed They only missed one goal. It was the first Matthews goal. You got home. Well, and that's actually
PBR,
when the team
baby.
Needed, they needed PBR. Anderson. Yeah.
All right, so you talked octopus. Yeah. I've talked Christmas concerts.
Yeah. Oh, one thing about Christmas concerts.
What's that?
For anyone out there, if you want to go to a Christmas concert, but you want to save a little money and you don't want to pay for that Christmas concert in American funds, but you want in Canadian funds.
Ooh, I see where you're going with
use
this.
Use Seat Giant. SeatGiant.ca. They're our Canadian partner on the show for all your tickets, sporting concert, whatever. They guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. And after you bought your tickets at SeatGiant.ca, there's a simple discount code. You type Bob and Matt, all lowercase, all one word. You get savings. We get a small percentage comes to us. It's win-win. SeatGiant.ca.
That win against Indiana was really good.
It was.
The Raptors win?
Yeah.
It was a bad game.
Yeah.
They had three of their most important players out in Serge Ioannis and Kyle Lowry. But I give Nick Nurse credit. Like, yeah. He just kept going to the roster blender.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam wound up at center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably Indiana lost it more than Toronto won it. They had the physical advantage, and they should have kept pressing it. They settled for shots. But beyond that, good win.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they won totally ugly and totally outclassed.
It was going to be ugly because, A, no Ibaka, no Valanciunas, and no Kyle Lowry.
Right.
And now you're playing a good Indiana team that plays a lot of ugly basketball. Indiana is not the place to go to bet the over. That's not what the Pacers are about. So you were able to win this game with, you know, a bunch of your best players out against an Indiana team that coming in was like 20-11. They're a good squad.
They're sneaky good.
Yeah. And that, like last night or that two nights ago now, that was the, this is why you have Kawhi Leonard. Came into the fourth quarter with like 10:26 to go, played the rest of the fourth quarter. When he entered the game, they're down by 8 or 9. When he left the game, it was over and they had won. Now, did they get lucky? Hells yes. OG Anunoby, I don't know if you saw it, Bob, and people go to my Twitter account at MCause56. I took a still shot of OG Anunoby's face the moment after he fouled Bogdanovich on the final three-pointer. He looks like Bart Simpson. I didn't do it. He looks like I spilt the milk. He looks like, oh no, dad just came home.
All right. So we routinely complain about the reffing against Kawhi. Nick Nurse was fine. $15,000 for it, right?
After the loss to Denver.
Right. Yes. So can we agree at least there's a statute of limitations of 10 games before we can complain again?
Because
we were handed that win.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was such an easy call to make. For Bogdanovich, you could like the ball just went boop, went in a different direction. And OG, he's got to learn how to sell. I didn't do it. What are you talking about? Like, you know, he's got to go full Tim Duncan, righteous indignation if a foul was called there.
There's two things you do. Either you stroll away whistling or you do the outstretched hands.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry is the master of the what with outstretched hands. Incredulous that someone could call a foul, you know, after he drop kicked someone in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Lowry, I'm convinced, has never committed a foul in the NBA, according to Kyle Lowry.
Well, that's you know, I mean, that's the Tim Duncan school of
he was
of
the
NBA.
True master.
Oh, he was the best.
He's the Bruce Lee of it. Yeah. Like, he is the Yoda.
Just eyes popping out. Always fun.
So I want to throw something out to you here, because you and I love the NBA. Mm-hmm. And not just loving the Raptors, but it's different when you love a league.
Yeah.
So you can watch any team and you'll find a reason it's interesting.
Yeah.
Something's in the water. People are just totally open. Like, there's no such thing now as tampering, I'm convinced. Like, people just openly discuss which players they want to come over next year.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, we kind of felt it with Kawhi and the Clippers, although that wasn't quite as...
Except for, like, you know, Lawrence Frank, you know, one of the heads of the Clippers is at every...
Right. They've been sending scouts to... Yeah. You know, but they're allowed to do that.
Yep.
But, like, LeBron just says, Anthony Davis, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I know.
Like, LeBron almost is ordering octopus at a restaurant. Like, he's just going through the menu, selecting his items.
Oh, should have got the full puss. We went half puss. We should have gone full.
You know
anyway,
what? How many times have I said
those that? Regrets on my deathbed. Should have been full puss.
You, and at the same time, I was at the Christmas concert.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
It's not.
This life disparity thing is not fair.
Oh, my God. I know he's going back to the Raptors and Anthony Davis. And, by the way, I feel so bad for New Orleans Pelican fans. But that would be a fun contrast. Like, what? Hold on. What time were you at the concert at? Give me the exact time.
I was there till about 8.
Okay. So at 8 o'clock, I'd been at Bar Isabel for an hour and 45 minutes. We were probably midway finished the bottle of Barbaresco. And, oh, I bet at that point we might have been in puss time then.
Okay. So why don't we do this, Matt? And I know we won't actually do it, but why don't we tweet out at 8 p.m. every night between now and, say, you know, when people go back to work.
So you know, there's no way we're going to do this.
Yeah, but, like, the 8 p.m. check-in, what's Bob doing versus what's Matt doing?
Yeah, if you ever want to do that, you send the first tweet.
I will.
Okay.
I'll be home.
It's always... It's got to start, like, when you are doing something like that, like the very obligatory but still wonderful part about being a father, but, you know, still has a little shade of obligation to it. Send it out.
I think we should call them Bobligations.
Bobligations. And then while
things that I have to do.
Yeah, while you're bobligating around, you know, just see what I'm doing. Just
I'm going to the Eaton Center after this.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm going to go work. I'm going up to
You're
TSA.
Going to talk sports and have fun.
That's
I'm
going
to go stand in line at the Mac store.
Well, Bob, you waited. By the way, today is considered the busiest shopping day of the year. That's a you problem. But it's December 21st.
Yeah.
What are you doing now? Like this is crazy.
Yeah. Look, people who shop really early.
Yeah.
Get lost. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Stop shaming everyone else. Like, what is it that people aren't doing so that they can shop in November?
Who's more shameful, Peloton ad, Perfect Mother, or someone who says, I got all my Christmas shopping done on December 1st?
I would say the latter. No question. By the way, my new hero is J.K. Rowling, not just because she's a great writer.
Yeah.
But there was this tweet that I saw.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
It made me sick. It's like, the most successful people in the world get up at 4 a.m. And she retweeted it with the comment, oh, piss off.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's about bloody time. Someone, like, you know what I realized? Mm. I sat there and I ate nachos with Doritos cheese sauce yesterday out of the jar, standing at the kitchen counter in my underwear. And you know why?
Why?
Because I'm tired of self-improvement.
Yes.
You know what? I am tired of trying to be better. What's so freaking great about being better?
And while you were doing that, at the same time, I was at Bar Isabel and we decided to order a second Basque cake, Basque. I've never tasted a cake this good. And so that's what we did. Same thing. Self-improvement meant nothing. It's, I need more of this delicious cake in my body.
By the way, my corn chips with fake cheese sauce was delightful.
Oh, I bet it was.
It was delightful.
Yeah. real quick, because we're out of time.
Are we out of time?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, come on.
I feel so bad for Pelican fans. You can't fully enjoy Anthony Davis because in the back of your mind, you know, going, wow, what a great play. Man, he's going to be doing that with LeBron soon, isn't he? Like, it's hard to fully invest.
Why do you feel so bad for them? We're having the same experience with Kawhi now.
It's funny. I don't even think... I'm more and more convinced every day he's going to stay here.
Who's more likely, Kawhi in Toronto or Anthony Davis in New Orleans?
I think Kawhi in Toronto. Toronto represents a better chance to win it all. You've got the giant that is Masai Ujiri, and I use giant on purpose because Giants of Africa. Mm-hmm. He is a celebrity. He has gravitas. They've built this incredible team. He watched them beat Golden State on a back-to-back without him. So what, you know what Toronto represents? It represents a chance for Kawhi. You can win it all, But you don't have to do the heavy lifting on every night.
Okay, I got to look up something real quick. So while I do, can you describe the weather outside today?
The weather, like so much of it, it's gray. It's a little bit rainy. By the way, no one come to the Christmas market, okay? Tuesday, Wednesday.
The average weather in Los Angeles in December is 20 degrees.
Yeah.
20 degrees and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think he wants to be?
Do you think he wants to be with the Clippers, that joke show franchise?
They look great. They look great, and they got exciting young players. And he lives down the road, basically. He grew up 2 hours away, and he's an L.A. guy.
They've looked good to start the year.
And he was traded to Toronto. It's not like he chose to be in Toronto.
I understand that. But
everyone says Paul George, but give me a break with Paul George.
The question was more likely to leave, Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to go with Anthony Davis is more likely to leave because the Pelicans haven't exactly surrounded him with a great team to win. Kawhi Leonard's a great organization, which is a team that is damn good with smart people there. And you're also in the East, so it's an easier ride to the finals.
I think you're right. Even after all that, I do agree. But I don't think it's that different. I think that Anthony Davis can make $70 million more playing in New Orleans is what it tabulates out to.
Yeah.
So there's financial incentive for him to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's financial incentive for him to stay in Toronto as well.
He can get more money and more term here.
Right, right. But I think what we're seeing, I was just reading an article about LeBron James and how in Los Angeles, he's built all of his businesses around Los Angeles.
Yep.
There's about just shy of $800 million tied up into that area of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kawhi's a very different person.
LeBron's
been trying to be a mogul since, you know, it's been like 15 years.
Yeah.
So they're different. But I think everybody knows. Like, you're just like, we love Toronto. But we are in Siberia.
Yeah. Yes.
We are in NBA Siberia.
We are.
Even as great as we are. How many more freaking articles do I have to read about how surprising Toronto is this year?
Yeah.
They've been this good for years. Well, maybe not this good, but close.
Yeah. I think with Kawhi, I went from being a 1% chance. I'm up to now like a 40% chance. I think he stays in Toronto.
Yeah, maybe. The other thing about Anthony Davis in Los Angeles, I'm kind of two minds here. One, I think it's possible because I think they got to get another star.
Yeah.
And so the full court press is going to be insane to get Davis because I think they're not going to get Leonard. And they didn't get George. So you start asking, okay, so who's it going to be? You know, Anthony Davis is a pretty great candidate. The other thing is if they don't do it, he's going to wind up in Boston.
Yeah.
Do you want Anthony Davis in Boston?
No.
Right. So exactly. Then let's just hope that LeBron gets his way.
Yeah, he always gets his. Anyway, we got to go.
We're
out of time.
That makes me sad.
We'll leave on the note you said a second ago, which was Matt, you were right. Mm-hmm. So, Bob.
I said about 57 minutes ago.
Next week, we're going to be crushing some Burgundy and some delightful cheese for the year-end review show when I also give my top five delightful rankings.
Okay, let's try to do no sports.
Okay.
If we can avoid it.
Oh, that'll be difficult. Okay.
Well, something big might happen that we actually have to address.
Okay,
but we'll do mailbag.
Yeah.
And we can do another, like we did that show for the can the other day.
Yeah.
A couple months back when you had to go away.
Yeah, Evergreen. Yeah. Just the bleep around episode.
Yeah. So let's do a bleep around to just finish up. We should do some 2018 memories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
So please send us your questions, your observations, things you liked or didn't like or definitely liked.
Yeah, more the like than the don't.
Yeah,
like.
If you say you didn't like it, we're not going to talk about it.
Actually, that's not true. Anyway, bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt. Chick-chicka.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.